You're listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
Hey there, Pharmacy Podcast Nation. Todd Urey here. Before you listen to the latest podcast, I want to tell you about the Avadem Health podcast series. Avadem Health identifies unmet needs and addresses them in a way nobody has, with a portfolio of advanced safe product solutions across a broad range of health and wellness areas, including a well-known product that has supported the Pharmacy Podcast Network for some time. For your patients suffering with restless leg syndrome and muscle cramps, TheraWorks Relief. I use this myself. The Avadem Health podcast series is a three-part series. Find it on Google by searching Avadem, spelled A-V-A-D-I-M, Avadem, and search Avadem Health podcast. It's a really interesting discussion on non-opioid pain relief, which we all know we need more long-term non-opioid pain relief solutions. Check it out, and remember to subscribe on Apple Podcasts to the Pharmacy Podcast Network's entire library of content. And thank you for listening to the Pharmacy Podcast.
Here's the thing. You're busy. You're a professional. Maybe you're a pharmacist, and you know you're capable of doing more, doing much more, and living a more organized, less stressful, purposeful, and freedom-driven life. Let's talk, let's share, and let's grow together as an industry, as healthcare providers, and as a better unified community. It may seem like some of these things don't easily fit together. After all, what do career coaching, marketing strategy, networking, and pharmacy have in common? Welcome to the RX Buzz. Your host is a pharmacist, a wife, a mother, an entrepreneur, and a proven motivational career coach, Ashley Clevens Hayes. This is the RX Buzz Podcast, a collaboration between RX Ashley and the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
What's up, RX Buzz listeners? Ashley here for another awesome episode with my friend Jerika. She is with us today. We've known each other for quite a while, and I love, love, love supporting her and seeing her grow and do her thing in her new business. So Jerika, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here.
So I'm sure everyone knows you, but you know, if they're living under a rock and someone maybe doesn't know you, do you mind kind of taking a moment before we dive in to get to know you and kind of how you ended up where you are today?
Sure. So I am a pharmacist of 21 years, and I spent 17 of that 21 years in the pharmaceutical industry. And prior to that, I had the beginning of my career was in pharmacy management, hospital pharmacy management. And as I have matriculated through the years in the pharmaceutical industry, I came to understand that one of the things that I thought I had in line was my own personal health. And I realized after I sat in front of the neurosurgeon about 3 years ago that I actually did not. And he was recommending that I have brain surgery. And you know, Ashley, it's so crazy that I was so set on being a good employee, a good daughter, a good wife at one time, a good everything, that my health was probably last on the list and it wasn't the priority. So here I sit before the neurosurgeon and he says, you need brain surgery. And I thought that he and I were having an intelligent conversation about my options and what happens if I didn't do it. And what I really realized was that for most of my adult life, I had not prioritized myself and my health. So I think sometimes we get it confused with achieving goals and living your dreams. And I was achieving many, many goals, but I wasn't living my dreams. And so fast forward, after having, you know, some significant health challenges, realized that I needed to stop the presses, put myself and my health first. And from there is when I started living the life of my dreams.
Wow, that's amazing. So if I remember correctly, when you were working in industry, you were an MSL.
Yes, I was
an MSL. Were you an MSL for your entire career?
Most of it. I was an MSL for about 15 of those 17 years.
It's so interesting. And I think I've talked to you about this before. You know, MSL is like the sexy job these days. I can't tell you how many people reach out to me asking, you know, tips and tricks on how to get into MSL position. And while I think it's a fantastic career and I think it's a fantastic way to implement your skills, and especially as a pharmacist, it's funny because you pivoted out. It's not funny. I mean, it's just interesting how everyone has this idea that that is it. You know, that's the golden, that's the gold. That's it right there. That's jackpot. And you're like, well, that was awesome. And I did awesome. And I'm awesome. And I hit all my goals. But I actually switched out for different reasons.
Right. I had been in MSL in a couple of different capacities for 15 years. So I was what they call a therapeutic MSL. And then I also was an MSL on our managed markets or health outcomes liaison. Those are different titles that you hear, but I'd had the experience of doing both. And after 15 years, I think it was time to do something different. And while I probably personally would have never chosen that, because I believe too that I had, you know, gotten to that pot of gold, if you will, having the MSL role, my health was what really caused me to sit up and take notice. So I did pivot out of the role. It's a very rewarding career. And I think as everything in life, there's a season for everything.
Yeah, totally. Oh my gosh, 150%. I totally agree with you. I mean, if I would have asked myself 10, 15 years ago what I would be doing in 10, 15 years, there's no way that I would have said that what I'm doing today is what...
Right, me either.
I mean, just because of the seasons, you don't know what life's going to bring you. You don't know... You know, I've had to move around freaking 15 times to accommodate both my husband and I's job. So it's like, no one told me that in pharmacy school.
Well, and I believe that if anyone had a crystal ball and shown us what was to come, we would have run scared. I would have been like, oh no, I can't do that. So in a way, I like a little bit of the element of surprise in what's next. But I'm confident that the experiences that I've had have been enough to prepare me for whatever comes next.
Oh, for sure. So, okay. So you went to the doctor's office and they were like, yeah, you're going to need some serious health interventions. So from there, what made you go from, I mean, I know you've talked about how some of our mutual friends have really supported you in making that transition, but I mean, what was it that you're like, I have to quit my job and I have to go do something else? Was there like an option, or was it like, no, the stress is so much that I needed to stop?
Well, I actually started building my concierge pharmacy consulting practice in 2017 after I had recovered from my brain surgery. And the interesting thing is that like most humans, we are definitely wired for patterns and for habits. And so I went right back to the habits that I had before brain surgery. That because I, in my mind, I'm all better, I'm all healed, I'm good to go. And so what happened was my health called again. So in a different way, I didn't need any more surgery or anything like that, but my health called again and said, you've got to pay attention to what's going on here if my health could talk. And so I remember shrugging it off like, oh my gosh, like I've already gone through brain surgery. Like what more can you do? Right, like sure. I should be fixed. And so gratefully, I'd already started building Your Pharmacy Advocate, which is my consulting practice, but I was still working full time. Mm-hmm. And when my health began to challenge me this last time, while I was still working, I decided, okay, I've got to leave. Yeah. And it was a little daunting because I had not built the practice, my consulting practice, to be sturdy enough to carry me yet. However, I knew that something had to give, and health needed to be front and center. And I could not do that. Those positions require quite a bit of travel, and it can be a bit strenuous with the confines that you're traveling in. Great position, great experiences, great people.
There's a lot of travel. I mean,
it's more than 75%.
Yeah, I mean, that is a lot. That's a big, I travel like once or twice a month, and it's a lot for me. So,
right.
No, I totally get that. Okay, so you left your job. You went from making, I'm assuming, a nice salary to zero.
And I tell people not with it, because you know me, I tell people not with the intent of impressing them, but impressing upon them that I left an over $200,000.
Yeah, heck yeah. I mean, that's me. I was that too.
Yeah.
And it's a big lifestyle change. Like, yeah, holy crap. Like,
you have to
buy manis and pedis.
Yes. You have to sit with yourself and go, is this really the direction that I'm going? But you have to trust and you have to have faith. And I have enough faith in God and enough faith in myself and trust in myself that I was like, I think I have to try. If I don't try, I'll never know.
Totally. Yeah.
Unless I need to, you know, get my health back front and center. Because when you travel that amount, everything else is kind of ancillary.
Yeah. And honestly, so the travel is one thing, but it's also some of the people that we know who are super ambitious, high achievers, not even just travel, but it's like working 60 to 100 hours a week. That's kind of a lot. I mean, that is a lot. So whether you're traveling or not, whether you're up on your feet or you can't have as time to have lunch or you don't have a minute to, I don't know, take a step outside just to chill for a second, that's hard on yourself. It's hard on your body. And I think we're trained as clinicians that you just do that. That's just part of it. Like, that's part of the nature. And I don't think we have a lot of mentors ahead of us. Now I think things are changing a little bit. Mm-hmm. But as we were kind of going through the ropes, I don't think it was, that was not welcomed.
No.
So you kind of took the bull by its horns and you're said, I can't do this anymore. Okay. So fast forward to 2017, you launched your business. So tell us a little bit more about your business.
So
how it works.
Sure. I've launched Your Pharmacy Advocate, and our tagline is Partners in Safe Medication Use, because I had that personal experience of my own surgery that I just mentioned, but that journey started even before then. In 2015, I had the grateful pleasure to be able to be laid off, and I had all these grand plans for the year, but I'm grateful that I was able to be with my parents, because that's when both of them experienced quite rough patches in their health journeys. My father was diagnosed with stage 4 lymphoma. And I remember sitting in the doctor's office with him when we got that diagnosis, and it just looked like somebody had hit him in the stomach. Like, he didn't know what to say, you know, just how do you respond to that? And so I basically became somewhat of an advocate for him, asking questions, advocating, saying, hey, we need more anti-nausea medicine, when he was going through radiation, and just, you know, all the things that he couldn't even think to ask or even know to ask for himself. Mm-hmm. I became an advocate for him, if you will, going to oncologist appointments, radiation oncology appointments. And then a short 5 months after my father started his journey with the lymphoma, my mother had to have triple bypass surgery. And in and of itself, okay, triple bypass surgeries happen, I'm sure, you know, at a great rate every day, unfortunately. But she came out of her surgery with what seemed to be a dementia that lasted for about 2 years.
She went in like my mother,
came out like my grandmother. She had a hard time recognizing me. And I just remember walking through, feeling like I was in a bit of a fog, a cloud, going, if this anesthesia would just wear off. But anesthesia doesn't last for, you know, that long. And so having to become an advocate for her, because she couldn't speak for herself, not, you know, in a coherent method. And so being at her psychiatrist appointments and really looking at, okay, how many medications are we on? How long are we going to do it? Can we back off? Do we need
asking
to
ask the right questions?
Yeah. Because she had no clue and she couldn't do that. So thankfully, you know, at that time she was on 12 different medications, and I've gotten that number, you know, down to 5. And so I'm grateful for that. And, you know, having those personal experiences helped me to understand that I needed to build something to help patients. So then, as I mentioned before, I had my own brain surgery, and from my hospital bed with my hospital gown, this anonymous pharmacist, because I don't think they knew I was a pharmacist, was saying things like, I don't have any more access for you to put any more IVs. We've blown everything. Can you not call the physician and ask him to write for an oral third generation cephalosporin? Mm-hmm. And they're looking at me like, how would you know that? And so, you know, even talking with the infectious disease team that stood at the end of my bed saying, your cultures haven't grown out anything, we're going to keep you longer another day. And I'm saying, do you know what it costs to keep me in the hospital? Having those types of conversations, even as a patient, I realized that I wanted to build something to help patients and to advocate for them to get the outcomes that they were looking for in their health. Because I think sometimes patients get just kind of lost in the shuffle.
Oh my gosh, not sometimes. It is.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's data out there, but like all the time. My own mom had a colonoscopy a couple weeks ago, and it was like crazy just to get her through it. So it's in like such a simple procedure. So I'm confident that you're onto something good.
Patients need pharmacists. I you can quote me on this. Everyone needs a pharmacist at some point in their life.
Oh, for sure. I mean, 150%. I think it's like 50% of people are on one or four medications at one time or something.
Yeah, especially as they age.
Yes, that crazy statistic. So, okay, so the company now is, so you launched it and you're growing it. What is the role of the company? How do you come into play?
So we're there to fill that gap. We know that most patients in a physician's exam room get on average about 7 to 10 minutes to talk about whatever they're there for the visit.
Yeah.
And that's a really short amount of time.
That's nothing.
You get a lot of airtime with the physician. You are whisked out and then sent to pick up your medication because it's been, you know, electronically transferred to the pharmacy. You're sent to pick it up. And we know with the demands on pharmacy now that that pharmacist may or may not have a lot of time to do a lot of counseling. Mm-mm. And what if you don't even have your questions at that moment?
Right. Most people don't.
Right.
Most people don't.
We're there to fill that gap so that each patient is paired with their own pharmacist, mm-hmm. and that pharmacist knows their case. So if they get a new prescription, they can call and say, hey, Ashley, you're my pharmacist. I got this new prescription. And you already know that patient's backstory, their health history, and you can comment versus them getting the pharmacist of the day at retail when they may or may not have a question.
Totally.
They have a pharmacist that's personally dedicated to them so that when they ask questions, that person isn't going, well, wait, let me hold on. What? Trying to figure out their history all over again. They already know them.
Yeah.
And we also are able to fill that gap when physicians or other healthcare practitioners have a complex patient and they just want a pharmacist as a peer to kind of look at what do you think? What do you think about this? Is there anything, you know, I should consider? So those are the gaps that we fill in. And I think it's very much needed in our healthcare system today.
So how do you connect with people? How do people find you?
So most people find us by viewing our website online. Uh-huh. It's yourpharmacyadvocate.com. But that's why I do quite a bit of speaking. You see,
that's
where the speaking comes in, because when I can get an audience in front of me and I'm talking one to many, that definitely is more effective than one-on-one. And then we also advertise on Facebook and social media. And I do quite a bit of just organic marketing, if you will.
Yeah.
Half the world's on social media. And generally people, you know, I think of all of these sponsored and unsponsored communications that I see on social media and how much, you know, I have purchased myself. And so I think it really is reaching people to know, hey, there's another option that did, because most people, it takes a lot of education. Most people don't realize that a pharmacist can do more than count pills.
Totally. No. Yeah. No. So you get, okay. So I'm taking this at two different angles. Of the angle of, I love your idea. I think it's novel. I think, you know, I think it's needed, obviously, with so many people on medications and with polypharmacy and multiple hospitalization, all of those issues coming up, right? All those sexy keywords that we can talk about. And then there's this other side of me that's like career strategist, career development. That's like, yes, you go, girl. You had this life experience with your family and also your personal health. And you were like, I can't keep up with this. now I need to pivot something. Something has to change. And so probably my job. And so you quit your job, which is awesome. You launched your business before you quit. So that's like the good transition. And now you're in the business and now you're scaling the business. And that's so cool. That's so cool. Not a lot of people do that. I mean, actually, I try to convince so many people, so especially pharmacists, like, no, you can do that. I mean, anyone can do this. It's just a matter of, I mean, there's a lot of things, but, you know, mindset and being your entrepreneurial spirit up and marketing, and you could have a wonderful idea and you can have it all crystallized, but if you're not out there doing it, it's totally different. So you got both gamuts here with, I love your idea. It's fascinating. It's obviously a great business model. And then, or also a great business idea, and that, which is meeting the needs of millions of people. And then the other hat that we can talk about is like, you did it. Like you quit, you pivoted, you quit, and you're taking care of yourself, I'm assuming.
Yes. And so, you know, one of the things I think that happens is oftentimes as I like to talk about humans, because, you know, I think, you know, we definitely all have that in common. Humans don't really like change. And so it's amazing. You mentioned mindset, that your mindset can definitely get in the way. And it doesn't mean that you won't have fear. I think I face fear in some manner every day. But because I actually just wrote a chapter for a book that says I burned my boat, meaning that I can't turn back. Like, this is the course that I charted.
Yeah.
And so I just keep going and I adjust and I pivot. I think people are afraid of failure. And like,
I hear you. I totally get that fear of failure. But it's also, I think, how are you going to pay your bills and what is your life going to look like? Because a lot of people, you know, envision this lifestyle and the life that they want and the career that they want, but then they're in it and they're like, wait a minute, this isn't my vision.
Right. Well, and I say all the time that, you know, if we think back to our days in pharmacy school, they taught us well to be pharmacists, but they didn't teach us how to make money. And so I think that's where the rub comes, is like you said, people go, well, I don't know how, I have this great idea, but how do I make money? And
how do I put it into fruition? Right.
Right.
I think pharmacists are terrible marketers. What do you think?
I think because we don't learn that. We learn every other
aspect. Not a lot of people learn it either. And I think that we tend to be a little bit more passive. And then when we get into the entrepreneurial bug, we're like, ooh, that sounds good. That looks cool. But then once you come up with this idea, it's not about even having the idea. It's about actually executing.
Right.
And talking about your services and talking about your prices and talking about, no, this is actually what I charge because I, you know, need to pay my mortgage.
I'm worth it. I mean, pharmacists have a lot of knowledge.
Right.
And we've been a part of that model where we give that knowledge away for free.
Yeah.
And so that, I think, is another rub that we're like, what? I'm supposed to charge for that now? Because all of your career, you've been giving it away for free. So you're doubtful if anyone...
Or salaried. I mean, or you, it was just encompassed in your hourly wage or whatever that looked like. And it was never broken down. Like, an X amount is you're going to get paid for this. And X amount you're going to get paid. No, now it's like, oh, so you actually had to break it up into what you're charging. If it's a service-based business, kind of similar to what you're running.
Definitely.
So cool. So fun. I love having people like you.
I love talking with people like you.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, I think the whole notion around going into non-traditional work, what you're doing, what kind of what I'm doing too, is more traditional these days, in my opinion. You know, the non-traditionalist is turning into innovative. You don't have to be an entrepreneur per se, but you have to think like an entrepreneur, even if you don't want to be an entrepreneur. So I love it. Okay. So if someone wants to reach out to you, someone has, you know, a question that they want to run by you, someone wants to work with you, and you hire pharmacists, correct?
Right. I do. Based upon the needs. So I don't want to, like, you know, give the impression that I have floodgates that are just,
no. Open. Yeah, right? No. I mean,
you're right. So
yeah, but you do. Yeah.
Really? Yes, I do. And really careful about that, because I know that, you know, that I could probably have as many pharmacists as I could find, at this point in time. But I tried very much to balance that with patient demand so that the pharmacists that I have, you know,
of course,
have the opportunity to fully exercise, you know, their capabilities and their skills, to find me or to keep in touch. And I found that most pharmacists reach out on LinkedIn. So if they're on LinkedIn and they're searching, or they, you know, come across suggested profiles, that's where I meet most pharmacists, is they send a message or a connection request on LinkedIn. So I'm there on LinkedIn, also on Facebook. The business has a Facebook page. It's Your Pharmacy Advocate. It also has an Instagram account, Your Pharmacy Advocate. So those are probably the best ways to reach me. And I love talking to pharmacists and love meeting pharmacists, especially to let them know that there are other options. Sometimes, you know, I remember when I came out of pharmacy school so long ago that the options then were retail and hospital. That was mm-hmm. what was suggested. And so I went off and did a residency, and that was kind of a, where did you hear about that from? Because they weren't necessarily readily advertised as much. And so I think that pharmacists would be surprise. And I know there are other people that are doing that work saying, what else can a pharmacist do? And, you know, kind of giving people the ideas to even branch out beyond the norm. So I love talking to pharmacists about, you know, what their options are.
That's so cool. Well, awesome. Thank you so much for your time. This was super fun.
Thank you.
This was just the beginning. If this was your first time listening to the RX Buzz, we welcome you and thank you for giving us a chance. And if you're an old friend, one of our subscribers, we cherish you and look forward to hearing from you. And now we need your help. We ask that you share this podcast with just one person you know who's in the healthcare industry. If this podcast can help just one person, we believe it will have a chain reaction, having an impact on dozens, hundreds, thousands, and someday, millions of people. Thank you for your help. We truly appreciate you. And thank you for listening to the RX Buzz, part of the Pharmacy Podcast Network.